welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Brumman. Meg, what are we doing today?
We're looking at sparkling wine under $50 for your Christmas New Year's celebration. I think it amazes me how early we start celebrating Christmas. I mean, I know next week we've got a WSET thing, so that's still in November, and then really it's going to go all the way up until New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd have a look at all ranges of budgets, all different styles of wine, so that, you know, people can go out and, depending on your budget, you can have something sparkly and frothy.
It's the bubbles time of year.
It's bubbles time
of year.
So
we are doing the hard work of testing all the bubbles for you.
Very hard work. I'm going to suffer so much with this episode.
Oh, but what have we got? We haven't recorded in a while because we recorded a few in a row. We've had so much happen.
I know.
Fair.
We are the Wine Communicators of Australia's recipients of the Best Blog or Podcast Award for the second year running.
From the
Calabria Estate sponsored our award, no?
Wine Communicators of Australia.
That's what I said.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did warn you before I got here that I'm suffering.
Yes, the Wine Communicators of Australia have awards every November. Last year we were up there. You wouldn't have even been pregnant. How odd.
No.
We're both very tired.
We got
grilled or something afterwards.
We won, and instead of going out for champagne, we just went home and ate grilled. We're so lame.
Well, I had a few bevvies and dinner with a friend, which was nice.
That's good.
But it was at Handpicked Cellar Door in, they call it Eat Street in Chippendale. It was a great event. We were pretty excited.
It's so nice.
And thankfully it was a little glass shard this time, not a massive thing, because I only had an overnight suitcase.
We really genuinely weren't expecting to get it for a second year. So it's super nice. We're up against some pretty good podcasts.
Yeah, got some in the AWRI.
Pretty amazing.
Very professional people.
Yeah. Thanks for that award. And then we've – something else funny. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll know that we were on the Dylan Friends – podcast last week it came out.
But it was a couple of weeks ago that we did. It was a miserable night. I remember
it was so funny. He got in touch because he does a
how to do a podcast, how to make a budget, how to buy your first house.
Yeah.
And he brings in experts, and he decided he wanted to how to taste wine. And look, I'll be honest, I didn't know him from.
So he's an anyone. AFL footballer. Spent most of his career at Carlton, I think, and then spent a bit of time at
GWS.
He's
famous.
He's very well known.
Up in that.
Yeah.
That world. I did not know him, did not ring true with me. I thought he was lovely. We actually had a good, fun time.
We had heaps of fun. He was so funny. The funniest part of that episode is when he goes, we got him to taste Sauvignon Blanc, and he goes, oh, you know what? You can really taste the tannin in this. And I was sitting there like, oh, how do I break it to him nicely? And Meg just goes, nah. It's
just, well, yes.
Feels no need to sugarcoat anything.
No. There is no tannin in Sauvignon
It made it
block.
Very funny. It was such a good sport. Like, he said a few things that you just took him down.
And he was a good sport. About it. And he actually could taste a little bit by the end of it, I thought. Like the rosé, he said it's got a bit more of a full body. And yeah, and it's like when you're teaching anyone to taste, when you describe something, they go, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
But I just don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. So honestly, for most of you who listen to this podcast, it's probably way more beginner.
Oh, it's like red, white, and rosé.
Yeah. I doubt many of our ongoing listeners will get much out of it, except for that it's funny. And if you like AFL and know Dill Buckley, then you'll have a laugh. You'll enjoy
lovely
it.
Stories about the wine that his grandmother got when he was under-12s grand final. It's very sweet.
He's very sweet. All right. Maybe one last shout out is we are headed to a really cool dinner in a couple of weeks. So you all know I'm from Gippsland, and I just like
loves tasting Gippsland wine.
I just feel it in my heart. I love seeing Gippsland absolutely killing it. And there is an event at Farmer's Daughters coming up on the 6th of December. And I'm pretty sure I'm just getting it up, but I'm pretty sure it was only $100.
75.
Except no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
And what you get for it is phenomenal local food, wine.
I mean, Farmers Daughters is like such a cool place.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
But add in all the top wines of Gippsland, like that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It'll be an amazing event. So is it at Farmers Daughters or is it Fed Square?
No, it's at Farmers Daughters, which is in Fed Square.
Right. We will be there.
Oh, my God, you're right. It's only $75. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, yeah, we'll be there. So come by and say hi if you want to come say hi to us. Yeah, and taste some great
Gippsland wines.
Yeah, for sure. We love Gippy wines. But on to the podcast. Meg, what you been drinking?
Okay, so I had a Nepenthe Adelaide Hills Albarino 2022. And as you know, these alternative varieties, as far as I'm concerned, they have to look like the originals. They don't have to look exactly like them, but they have to have a sense of what the grape variety is. This had it in spades.
Yeah.
Really floral, beautiful acidity, amazing texture. Even Pete, who's can be a bit about wine, said, oh, my God, this is so textural. It's amazing.
That's cool.
It's a go out and get it. It was sent to us by
Nepenthe.
Yeah, Nepenthe. And because they're part of Australian Vintage. They've got the Tempest 2.
Yeah.
Anyway, they sent it to us and
$35 worth. That's quite
good.
It's
worth every cent. It's a delicious, beautiful wine. And I just am thinking of sort of barbecued octopus as we move into summer. Crisp, but the texture really got to me.
We've been quite enjoying the Nepenthe ones. Hey, they do really good alternative stuff.
Very good winemakers.
Cool. Well, I'll make sure I'll put a link in the show notes. And do you have a fun fact?
I do. So for those of you who are rich, famous and wanky, a drone trial has just been completed to transport premium goods from the coast of Monaco to a super yacht.
What?
And the first thing that they set off was a 360-pound bottle of Dom Perignon vintage champagne and a 500-gram tin of caviar.
Must be nice.
Seriously, have you not got better things to do with your time? I mean, I think it's great that they're using a drone because it's obviously a smaller carbon footprint than having someone drive their little boat out there.
Touché.
But I just think, seriously, that the super yacht has just had a rebuild. It cost €35 million for the rebuild. So I'm assuming a rebuild means the structure's there, but they're just, I mean, it is a super luxury. So for those of you who are stuck on your yacht, maybe use a drone to get your caviar and champagne or your fish and chips and beer delivered.
I would love a super yacht.
I was listening to Trevor Noah today talking about if he was a billionaire and he wants access to things without having the money.
Yeah.
And I'm the same. I would love to have I would like to just sit on it with you one day and have someone deliver us caviar and 360 quid's worth of champagne.
Caviar bumps are like so hot right now.
I know. I did some in Queensland a couple of weeks
ago.
Yes, I went up for a dinner. I just don't really like
eating off your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a
bit
fancy.
Isn't it supposed to be a silver spoon?
No, it's a bump. It's supposed to go in your hand.
No, but traditionally, isn't it? It has to be silver.
Oh, I don't know.
I've got to say, I think caviar is overrated.
I don't like seafood, so I don't even.
It's salty bubbles of water.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, that's what I've been drinking, and that's my fun fact for those of you who are planning on summering on your super yacht.
Yeah, yeah, for all
which
those.
Which won't be us. You'll be floating in a bath.
If anyone is going to be on a super yacht this summer, just, you know, we're always happy to
be
invited.
The ballast for a super yacht.
No, don't invite me. I'm late.
Poor baby.
Invite Meg. She'll be fine.
Mel's hit the baby's definitely a baby phase of the pregnancy.
Oh, it's so annoying. I'm done. Over it.
Yeah. Only a couple of weeks to go now.
Get her out.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So sparkling wine.
Yes.
So the first one that we have is a Henkel Trocken Sekt. So Sekt is a German sparkling wine.
Mm-hmm.
There are two types of German sparkling wine. One is called Deutsche Sekt, which is made from grapes grown in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, which I'm pretty sure this is where this came from at $13.99 a bottle, is made from grape juice imported into Germany and re-fermented in Germany. So it's a tank method.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of it
from where? Like France or something?
Well, a lot of it apparently comes from like Morocco and these warmer places.
That's so random.
They can water it down. It's a fairly basic style.
Yeah.
Deutsche Sekt, I mean, I've had some amazing Deutsche Sekts made from Riesling and they're absolutely delicious. But I just think Sekt is one of those things that not many people see, goes on the radar. And I just think for $13.99, $14.99, sorry.
Yep.
Why not? And this is the sort of thing that you could happily have a champagne cocktail, I use inverted commas. You could have a Kir Royale champagne cocktail. You could be a little bit fancy schmancy on Christmas Day because you don't want to be wasting your good stuff on blending. You could do your diet cocaine. So usually the great varieties are things like Mula Turgau, Silvaner, really quite acidic, neutral grape varieties. You get a little bit of apple, fine bead, simple.
Yeah. I mean, it says dry, but it's got a little bit of sweetness in there. Do you know what I associate this? This is the one that has piccolos. You can get a 3-pack of piccolos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's 2 sparkling wines that are always in piccolo format because, I don't know, maybe I buy in piccolo format a bit. It's this and the Carver, you know, the black.
Yeah, and the Freycinet.
Yeah, they're your options and that's how I associate this. Yeah.
Yeah, I find that a little bit sweet, but it is refreshing. I would not be doing it for an Aperol Spritz. I know you that always say to me you should never do sparkling wine, but it would, in terms of a cocktail, it would be okay.
Yeah, I'd use it in a cocktail. Yeah, I'm not sure it would be my first choice.
No, but I just thought we'd have it because people would have seen it because it's everywhere and probably thought to themselves, what is that? And that's why I thought we'd get it. So it's the Henkel. And
sometimes when we do this, they're really good. Like it's in a miss, but.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
You know?
Not bad is not necessarily what we strive towards. But
no,
it's certainly, you know, palatable.
If you're going camping with your Bogues friends and that you're not going to be taking $30 bottles of wine, there's just absolutely no point.
No, it's where you pick up these little piccolos.
So the next one we've got, I thought we'd do, I'm doing this in a funny order, but I'm kind of doing it according to price.
Yep.
So the next one we have is a Crozer NV Rosé. So this is $19.95, and I wanted to get this just because I wanted a rosé style of wine. Obviously, Australia, non-vintage method, doesn't really tell you the grape varieties, so we don't know. But if you call it rosé, according to the law, it has to have some red grape in it. It can't just be 100% white with a little bit of red wine to make the colour. So expect sort of strawberries and cream, hot cross bun, traditional. Is it traditional method? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is the last wine that you can get under $20 for traditional method. I'm not even entirely sure how they're doing it.
When I was $20. A student, when Crozer was released in the 90s when I was studying winemaking, it was premium.
Oh, was it?
Oh, my God. Australia hadn't really done much sparkling.
Yeah.
It was one of the reasons it prompted me to want to go and do a vintage at Domaine Chandon because I'd had sparkling but always cheap, like Minchin Brie and the $4 bottles of wine. And suddenly I was introduced to this traditional method, Lees aging, Crozer, Chardonnay. I was doing winemaking, didn't really know much about it. And, yeah, I remember sitting in a restaurant in Rundle Street in Adelaide with my mate and we were eating oysters. We were students. Adelaide's great if you're a student because you still eat really well. And we ordered a bottle and it was like $30 in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. But it was premium and now I feel a little bit sad that it's sub 20.
No, it hasn't really kept up with everyone else premiumizing.
That's bloody delicious though. No?
$20. Yeah, okay, true. Calm down now.
You're not in a benchmarking tasting, okay, true. With your high end wine.
I like the like a touch of toastiness on the nose. It's got really refreshing berry fruits on the nose as well, which is yummy.
Oh no, that's got really good mass appeal. That is something that you would not be embarrassed to turn up.
Oh, my God. I would happily drink it if I was handed a glass.
Adelaide Hills fruit, I think.
Yeah, it does. It does say Adelaide Hills.
That's crazy for $20.
Isn't it? Oh, look, for $20 to still be buying Method Traditionnel is crazy.
I know.
I don't know how they're making money.
But we don't have any law, do we, saying that it has to be on the East Leas for like 6 months or 18 months?
No, we don't.
So maybe it's in and out.
Even then, just...
I know.
Yeah, I guess so. It might be in and out. But even then, like the equipment that you have to have, like it's still a very lengthy process.
If it's transfer method, so transfer method's where you bottle it and you have the lees aging, but then you disgorge, you take all the wine out and you filter it. They can't call that method traditional, can they?
No.
What do they call that? Just sparkling?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or they can call it bottle aged.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That's the tricky
euphemistic thing.
Euphemistic. If you see bottle aged, it doesn't necessarily mean method traditional. But this specifically says traditional method on it, so we know it's...
It doesn't have that length or acidity of a high-end sparkling wine, but it's perfectly drinkable. It's got that lovely spicy fruit. I'm kind of going with it.
You know how you need to eat with everything?
Yes.
Do you need to eat with that? Because I'm like, I don't need to eat with that. That's just nice.
No, the thing is with sparkling wine, it's the one thing that I don't really need to eat with. But I am thinking that would go really well with salty prosciutto.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
Oh, you want to list any more things?
Can't have prosciutto either. Oh, no. No, it's cured. Well, it's not even cured. It's air dried.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on.
We'll move on. Okay.
So soon, baby.
Soon. It's so close.
I'm going to bring you some champagne in the hospital.
Yay!
And a platter of, cheese. What, cheese. Can't you have soft cheese and prosciutto?
You know what
I want? Don't really like oysters or anything, so I don't have to worry about that.
No, just cheese and meat. That'll be good.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
So the next one I've got is the George Jensen Hallmark Cuvée. Now, you may have seen this in the store. It has the very fancy George Jensen-y. George Jensen, for those of you who don't know, is a silversmith's designer.
Oh.
Makes very art deco. Well, he's dead, but makes very art deco. Google his jewellery. It's beautiful. I love his stuff.
So he's a silversmith first and then what, the wine?
They've just
second.
Taken the name and obviously it's a little bit like Yves Saint Laurent. They're putting it on everything to try and... There's a George Jensen store. There'll be one in Chatty.
Okay, so you've all seen this wine in a bottle shop.
Yep.
It has a really nice bottle shape. It's kind of big at the bottom and has this nice long
bowling
neck.
Pin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that. It looks like a bowling pin. But it comes with this beautiful silver stopper. But before that reason, I've always looked at the wine and gone, all of the price has gone into the bottle and the stopper, so the wine can't be good. But I've never actually tasted it, so let's...
So it's $32 from Dan's, which Mel is correct in saying that it is, you're paying for the packaging. But I have bought this before when it's been on special because it's the perfect thing to turn up to someone's house. One of those Christmas drinks things that you're not really aware of, looks fancy, they get a free stopper. But I've never actually drunk.
My stoppers aren't cheap too.
No, and I've never actually drunk the booze.
Oh, my God.
I've only ever gifted it. So I did a bit of research on this one because I'm thinking it tells you nothing.
George Jensen
Hallmark Cuvée. It's apparently from Tasmania. That's where the fruit's from.
Okay.
So I don't know who's making it, but it'd be probably one of the largest producers down there.
I mean, it's not bad if it's tatty.
It doesn't tell you if it's Method Traditionnel. I'm guessing that it's probably not.
Yeah.
I got it because, yes, $32.
Yeah, it literally says nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I'm surprised that that label is legal, to be honest. but I got it because, yeah, it is, people will be, they'll be so blown away by the packaging that they won't give a crap about what's actually in the bottle.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is tank method. And when we say tank method, it means it's not fermented in the bottle. Yeah. Okay. So it's very apply. It'd be Chardonnay heavy, I'd say. It's not particularly finessed. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all right. I'd drink it, but I wouldn't.
I would drink it. was I? Oh, it,
it's a little bit Prosecco-esque. Like, it's a bit simple. But not particularly,
Yes, it is Prosecco-esque, actually. Mm. It's quite fresh, but it has that sort of Tassie acidity to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
At the Wine Awards, we had Prosecco. Do you remember last year there was no sparkling wine?
Mm.
So we actually had, and Handpick have bought Arras, which is Australia's top sparkling,
yeah.
One of the top sparkling wines. So I was like, well, can't we have that?
Yeah.
And she said, no, we're just serving the Handpick wines tonight.
Not rude. Like,
but it's there on the wall. You could just like... It was a really lovely event.
Oh, it was really, really lovely. Funny.
Anyway, so I got this really just for a bit of glitz and glam. It's all a bit the glimmer.
No, I have wanted to taste it. That's a really good call. I still actually think it's worth buying as a gift or something. And it's like it looks nice and there's a nice stopper. It's not.
Yeah, and you're not spending ridiculous amounts. But you're not spending ridiculous amounts of money. The bubbles are fine in it, and the person gets
the bubbles are actually quite nice. I like the texture of it, but yeah, it's just not particularly complex or anything.
No, no. But it's a correct refreshing. It's an aperitif style. It's something you'd have with your oysters or your smoked salmon at the start of a meal, rather than something that you'd have with a meal.
And, yeah, a good stopper is $15. So, really, subtract that from the price. That's a $15 wine. That's girl maths.
Girl maths.
Wine girl. Maths. We should do wine maths.
What did I say the other day we should do? Oh, I can't remember. It was a bloody great idea. I'll think of it again.
I don't know, but I'm great.
Chris Kennedy, who's our sales manager, thinks that we should start charging for wine tasting, so that to feature on the wine, because he's a salesman and he just wants everything to make money. He used to work for Moet.
I mean, look, I wouldn't mind if we made some money.
That's fine. We're drinking. So the next one we have is the 2017 Chandon Blanc de Blanc, newly released. I am so pleased that Mel bought this, because we did a tasting of your wines. Oh, where was it? At the Real Review with Hugh and Hook, when we interviewed Hugh and this is the one that stood out to me. I just thought it was bloody amazing and delicious. I mean, it's 2017. It's 6 years old and it's the current release. So we're very spoiled. Thanks, Mel.
Yeah.
The wine's shit, by the way. That's the thing. Oh, what can I say about it? I can't. Yeah, I can. I love it. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, say what you like, Meg.
It's a bit hard to say. It's crap, because actually, how much is it? Where are we in price?
48.
Okay, so $50.
Yeah. So this is the 2017. This is my favourite.
This is the thing about Domaine Chandon's wines that I think might work against you sometimes. They're more pristine than... you've judged sparkling wine in a show, and the ones that get up are always the lazy, complexy numbers, not the pristine purity of fruit numbers. And that's, I think, us possibly immaturity and understanding of what makes a great sparkling wine. But also a relatively short history of making premium sparkling wine in the country, 30 years tops.
Yeah.
So that we haven't quite grabbed diversity of style.
It's so true. Like our winemaker Dan always says that it's actually really easy to achieve that super biscuity, lazy taste.
Oh, that is cool.
But to get that purity of fruit is so much harder.
But this has the perfect balance of everything. And this is the thing I love. For me, the champagnes that I love the most are those. They're not those big André Clouet, Pinot heavy, lots of lees aging. I love Pierre Peters, Chardonnay-driven wines. And
we're not allowed to say masculine and feminine styles anymore, are we? But it is like a more feminine style.
It's just a very elegant.
It's elegant rather than rich.
It's just beautifully fine-lined, $48 by that.
It's a good one. I feel like I can't say anything because I'm very shit on. I'm just
and I'm sure. So is it? But is it available? Like,
no. It's this one is only Chandon online, chandon.com.au, or Salador. Do you know we make like 20 different sparkling wines?
I know.
It's like,
it's nuts.
It's pretty crazy. You only get a few in retail, but if you come to the cellar door, it tastes like 16.
Oh, and the Cuvée Riche.
Oh, my God, you love it. I love it.
When I worked there and we had a wine allowance, that's what I would go and get in the evenings. And they used to make it. I don't think it used to make a table wine called Colonnade.
Mm.
Pinot and Chardonnay, and that was the wine allowance. So I'm kind of giving that away, but the Cuvée Riche I just loved. Just thought at the end of it, a hard day, because I was doing afternoon shift, which was 1 till 3 in the morning.
Yep.
So you kind of never get a window to do anything with that. You wake up and you literally go straight back to work. But I would go home and open it up in a little glass. I was into goat's cheese and roasted red capsicum sort of salad thing. It was all very fancy.
Oh, my God, that is – you are a very fancy eater, though, just generally.
But I love potato cakes as well.
You do love potato cakes.
I'm not throwing that out, because the next one we've got is I got a champagne for $32.99.
Okay.
From Dan Murphy.
So I'm really glad you did this. I was hoping you would, because you always see these cheap champagnes and you go, do I? Like, it's champagne, but is it going to be any good?
See, I don't know that I do. I was really surprised. There was one at $49.99, but I think it was a member offer, so that was a bit cheaty.
Oh, yeah.
Because I set the beauty about the Dan Murphy's website. You can choose their limits, but I can actually set my limits. So I said from $15 to $50.
Yep.
And this little one popped up, so I took the $49.95 one out of my basket. Veuve
Rosier
Brut. It is champagne.
They make sure we know it. There's on the neck.
And on the front.
Champagne!
It smells sort of yeasty.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like champagne.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Meg. This is really funny. It says authentic reserve as opposed to what?
Inauthentic reserve. I've got to say the Champenoise have a certain way with terms. They just cuvée. Brut, cuvée spéciale, cuvée traditionnel, cuvée blubber, and cuvée, so you know, hilarious. It just basically means blend.
Yeah.
And this is authentic cuvée, is that right?
Authentic.
Mm.
Authentic cuvée.
It smells lovely.
If people are looking at it going, I don't know if it's real or not, oh, hang on, authentic cuvée, Ronnie.
I was expecting it to be sweeter, which is one of my complaints about the sort of cheaper end of champagne. It's not. It's quite broad.
It's ripe. It's not sweet, but it's ripe.
Yeah, but it's broad. It's like a tabletop on your palate. But it is champagne-esque.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be more champagne-y. It's
$32.
Yeah, I know, but remember the Aldi one we had? That was like...
But that was too sweet, wasn't it? $24.99?
Yeah, true. That was quite sweet. Oh, look, if you're buying wine for $32.
Do not buy champagne.
You can't. Yeah, literally just don't buy champagne.
Buy Australian.
Oh, like that Crozer, give me that over this.
Yeah.
For
buy Australian. $10 because the thing less. Is, unfortunately, you are paying for a lot of import duties, the cost of getting it here. I mean, I think it's great that you can have a champagne available, but I mean, what would this be in Europe? It'd be like €5-7, €8.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, no, they wouldn't even. Surely, they wouldn't even sell it in Europe.
It may be it's an atrocity brand.
Yeah,
but did you see recently that in the UK, because of the cost of living crisis, they've had to put in the supermarkets, because in the UK your wine is in the supermarket; it's not separate. They've had to put padlocks on the doors because people have been stealing the champagne. I know.
Wow.
England is in a world of pain.
Instead of just trading down, they're stealing champagne. Like,
why not?
They still have expensive palates.
Yeah, true. I mean, they probably feel like they need something to elevate everyone's miserable lives at the moment, because they were going to double the duty again. But anyway, I will stop.
Yes.
So we've tasted, you've done kindly given us the Chandon, but we've tasted four wines for under $100.
Wow.
That's good for us.
Yeah, that is good for us. But we're not, it's not like a huge rut. Like, I was expecting to love everything this episode. There were a few misses, to be honest.
The thing is, there is so much out there. Like, I was a bit, overwhelmed because we didn't do a Blanquette de Limoux. We didn't do a Alsace. We didn't do any Cremants. There's so many things. And Mel said this ages ago, if you're drinking under 30 for sparkling, just make it Australian. That would be my take-home message because with anything from anywhere in Europe.
Maybe even under 50.
Yeah, like, you're paying duty, you're paying taxes, you're paying transport. It's just really not worth it.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. But, hey, we have a final drop.
What's our final drop?
We've got to go get it. All right, Meg, final drop. What do we got?
We have from St. Leonard's a pilot project 2023. It's called Ruby. You may remember we did the Marcy, which was a Muscat Marsan Skins Contact, which we bloody mainly loved. Marsan.
It was 90% Marsan.
This is what I love. St. Leonard's old school winery doing all these cool new things. It's the winery that looks like the castle.
Yeah.
It's all the big brick. Anyway, so it's a 2023 Ruby Cabernet. So Ruby Cabernet, for those of you who don't know, is a cross between Carignan and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying to Mel, I think it's the most planted red grape variety in Australia, but I could be wrong because it was used for fortified wines. It's a filler, cask wine, everything. It's got, as you can see, super purple colour.
It is so it's got crazy colour.
Lots and lots and lots of colour. They're sort of easy drinking. Ruby Cabernets generally have sort of notes of cherry. They have moderate acidity and they're kind of just simple. Pete thought this was re-fermenting, but I suspect it's got some dissolved carbon dioxide in it because it's supposed to be chilled. Is that where we are? Because we did chill it down.
Yes, No, you're absolutely right. It tastes right. I just love as well, like, it's kind of hipster stuff. Like, it's unfined, unfiltered. It's gone through natural fermentation. Like, it's fun for an old school winery. Like, they're doing innovative stuff. It's cool.
This chilled down, and I've just read with New York style margarita pizza.
Oh yeah,
perfect.
This is so much, Meg. This is so my kind of Cabernet. Like, you know me and Cabernet aren't the best of friends. But
I love it. It's light bodied. The tannins are quite furry on the finish, and that's partly because we have chilled it down. It's gluggable. Don't think too much, but I really think it needs food.
No, I completely agree it needs food. I think you're right. The pizza. Margarita pizza.
Not serious food.
Oh, but you'd smash that in summer, cold. It is just bursting with vibrant fruit. It's like blue fruit.
12% alcohol, so that's good.
Nice. We love that.
Yep, it's perfect. It's on. That's where it should be for a smashable red.
Totally.
You don't want it at that 14%.
Absolutely.
Yum.
Yeah, really good. Nice one, guys.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, big fan. Okay, so the notes will be in show notes. And, yeah, definitely worth a try. I'm not actually sure where you can get it. Yeah, purchase online. So there you go. Go to the link in show notes. It'll be there. Now, lastly, we have a question for you, Meg.
Okay.
So a new friend, Joshua. Messaged,
Joshua Tree.
Saying, I have a question for you guys. What makes a good wine list? Sometimes I look at a list and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, but people like get awards for them. Do you have an episode on it? We don't have an episode on it, but here is Meg's response.
Why don't we get people to send in their wine lists that they find confusing?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
cover off the question, but
what makes a good wine list? I think a good wine list is something that has something that appeals to everyone. So a Pinot Grigio or a Pinot Gris or a Marlborough Sauvignon, dare I say it, so that my mates are covered.
Yeah.
because I hate it when I go to a restaurant and my friends are just moaning that there's no marble serving on that list, so I just want them covered off. I think that they should have a really good mix of traditional and funk as well. I recently ordered a mixed dozen from half dozen, whatever, from different drop, and it was really challenging for me because it had some like little traditional old friends in there and then it had some really weird shit. So I think it should that by the glass, exactly the same. You should have something that is generally mass appealing. So whether that's a Chardonnay, an unwooded Chardonnay, or a Riesling, or even a Chenin Blanc, which is appealing if you talk to people. But then you have something else by the glass that's a little bit funky, because I'm quite happy to try something by the glass that I wouldn't buy by the bottle, because I'm spending $15.
Yeah, totally agree.
So my risk is, but I tend to drink. I want deliciousness.
But, like, I wonder when it comes to, like, awards for the best wine list, that wouldn't be going to mass appeal. Surely there is something in, like, finding the best Riesling at a specific price point that is going to fit. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we should find out who judges this and get them on the pod. This is a good train of thought,
it's
actually.
It's a good question. Because I guess it's really hard for me to answer because we know.
Well, I'll say.
I can dissect a wine list.
Wine lists that annoy me I have things I know I don't like, and that is when you don't recognize any of the brands because it's clearly a sub-brand of a mass producer who makes a sub-brand because – so what a lot of wineries do is the venues tell them people don't want to buy Wolf Lass or whatever because they can sit there and they look up Dan Murphy's and they go, oh, it's worth $20, but you're trying to charge me $60 because that is in reality 300% markup is about right.
Yep.
So these brands make sub-brands called random things, and you can look at a list and know then when it's silly sub-brands that no one's ever heard of, and they're always fine but not that good. I actually really like it when I can see a good Riesling from a good producer and then I know I'm going to like it. Or, like, it's a Sauvignon Blanc, but it's not a crappy one. It's, like, Shaw & Smith from Adelaide Hills or something. Yeah. That's what I like in a wine list.
I like to see a little bit of funk. I hate it when I go in there and it's all just so funky.
It's all predictable.
We went to a restaurant, you and I, and there was very little on the list that appealed to me, and it was just like, I know the producers, but there's nothing. I just want delicious wines.
There you go, Joshua.
Just make them for me.
Just delicious wines. That's the answer.
Something that I think Joshua so answer much question clarity. In a really simple way is something that has appealed to everyone in your party.
You think we should get it? Sarah.
We're just having brainstorming on air. Sarah Andrews.
Sarah Andrews. We should get Sarah Andrews. She'd know.
Yes.
Let's get Sarah. And also, we love her.
We do love her.
Okay. Joshua, we did not answer your question. We will be back next year. I don't think we're going to make it happen this year. But at some point in the next 6 months, we will put an episode out for you that actually dissects this properly.
And send us your wine lists when you're out and about.
Yeah, no, this is great, actually. Please do send on Instagram
wine lists
that you want.
And we'll tell you whether it's shined or not.
Oh, that's actually really fun. Send us wine lists that you want our opinions on and we'll tell you our opinion on the wine list. Yeah, that's fun. And what we'd order from it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Okay, I like that. All right, we are done for this week. We will be back in your ears next week. Until next time, enjoy your next glass of wine.
And drink well.